Welcome to the Connected Insurance Podcast, presented by Agency Revolution. Listen to interviews with the most influential people in the insurance industry. Learn the most important strategies, tactics, trends, and challenges facing today's independent insurance agents and brokers. New episodes every Wednesday. Visit agencyrevolution.com and click media to explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers. Subscribe today and get updates delivered right to your inbox. And now, without further delay, the Connected Insurance Podcast.
Hey, 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 Michael Janz, co-founder of Agency Revolution and host of the Connected Insurance Podcast, presented by Agency Revolution, creators of Attract. Attract is a powerful marketing suite that it makes it easy for you to focus on the things that you need to do to run your agency, keep it running smoothly, and does lots of the marketing for you. It gives you the technology and the content that you need to find your ideal prospect, turn them into your best customer. Hey, guys, if you haven't had a demo lately, that's the least you should do. Visit agencyrevolution.com, request a demo today. And speaking of Attract, it's one of the issues that we get into in this very podcast today with my friend Charles Alexander, probably the leading provider of animated explainer videos to insurance agents throughout the United States and Canada. We dive into this juicy issue of video. And I know for those of you who are thinking, I can't do video, or I don't do video, or I'm not comfortable in front of a camera, or those of you who have done it and want to do it better, this is a conversation that you want to listen to. Charles knows as much about video as just about anybody that I know in the marketing world. Here are some of the things we cover. First of all, the psychology behind it. Like, what is it about video that is so influential and persuasive to human psychology? And then we get into very practical stuff. Like, he's identified six really common mistakes that people make, and they're super easy to correct. This is not like buying more equipment. It's not spending more money. It's not like high production stuff. These are easily corrected mistakes that people make with video, so you never have to make them again. And then we also talk about how you can squeeze the most out of like the same video. You know, let's say you have a 1 minute video. How you, one thing that he identifies is five different places where you can deliver it so the market consumes it. So this is, I'm delighted to say, this is a very practical, tactical conversation. I strongly suggest not only should the agency principal listen to this so that you have an understanding of what needs to be done, and you'll probably be an important part of it, but if you have a marketer on your team, this is one you should say, hey, listen to this one, because there's good stuff. Before we're done, a couple of things. Number one, next time you're in front of your computer, remember, Michael is in the remote foothills of the Sonoran Desert, mostly coyotes and javelinas hanging around. It gets lonely. Connect with me on LinkedIn, and also connect with Agency Revolution so you don't miss out on all the juicy, groovy stuff that's happening in the insurance industry. This is important. And again, as always, first of all, I want to thank everybody who's been emailing me, who's been sending me nice messages on LinkedIn about how much value you get from this podcast. It warms the cockles of my heart. So I do love to hear that. So stay connected. And now, without further ado, it is a privilege for me to invite you to participate as a listener in this conversation with my friend Charles Alexander. Charles Alexander, delightful to have you on this podcast. How are you doing?
Man, how are you?
Well, I'm doing terrific. Thank you.
Well, that's good.
And what's going on in... So we're going to talk about a video. I'm, you know, like full disclosure on this, and it's a topic that I revisit from time to time. And it seems that it is, there's so much knowledge, there's so much information that people really should understand about video that I have no reservations about dipping into it until we like get everything juicy out of it. So you have here's the word I'm going to use, an alternative approach to video that's different than any other guest that I've ever interviewed on this podcast series. So this is going to be fun. Yeah, we're going to look
Good
at this
deal.
From a slightly different perspective. So first of all, if you would be kind enough, let's tell us a little bit about Charles Alexander. How did you get to be who you are now?
Man, that sounds like a deep question that people give you about their childhood. But I'll sum it up for you. I actually am a full-time business consultant, and I'll recommend to any of your listeners out there to reach out to a local small business development center. I am the director here at a college in just north of Nashville, Tennessee, of a small business development center. And my full-time gig is doing one-on-one advising for small business owners or people who want to grow or even start a business. Most of the time, it totally revolves around marketing. People feel like they can always outsell any issue they have, and from there, we can also peel back the layers and find out what else is holding their business back. With that in mind, after 12 years of doing that with an extensive training background and even growing up in a family-owned business or a wide variety of businesses that my parents had, I always had an entrepreneurial spirit, so starting about 3 or 4 years ago, I decided I needed to practice what I preach a little bit, take some of my own medicine, so I decided to start doing some freelance work, and in that, it took on a variety of forms, writing blog posts, I excelled at, and then the very first full-time client I had that wanted to pay me a monthly retainer, I gave them an offer, and in that offer, I would write X number of blog posts, update their website content, and that's what I wanted to sell them.
Right.
I decided to also offer video, which I had, you know, really didn't have a lot of experience with other than creating my kids' videos with Windows Movie Maker, and even those weren't very good unless you actually, you know, their mama or grandmama, anybody else I don't think would have
watched. Yeah, hey, but the star of the show was beautiful, right?
Every time, man. Well, they look like me. How couldn't they be, right?
Okay.
If y'all could see me.
Did they talk like you too?
Well, unfortunately, they all do. And around here, that's totally normal.
All right.
But then I offered that to him, and lo and behold, he wanted me to create video for him. So I, you know, started learning on the fly. And the first few I created for him, he was very happy with. They got views. They beat the written content all day long, and in fact, they weren't that great. I used a variety of things, right? Imported images and B-roll footage. I even used Prezi, which is a presentation software,
right,
but just did a...
I'm familiar with it. I've seen it used for a few years now, but I used it myself once upon a time.
It was a hotness for a minute. It was never very easy to use, and I converted it into several different videos. And either way, after a long period of time, I have finally narrowed down my niche and did it really strongly a couple of years ago, where I focus a lot on the insurance industry, and I focus a lot on the financial industry, but I make animated videos, explainer videos, that are 90-second, basically cartoon videos is what you hear a lot of people call them, or 2D animation or whiteboard videos that are for agents or advisors to tell their customers' stories back to them. And they can use these in, gosh, a dozen different ways to really tie all of their marketing together and explain exactly what they do. And this is, you know, this, even though I call it a part-time gig, it is right at or equal to or, you know, more than the full-time gig I have now.
So, again, recap, 12 years business consulting and 3 or so years in your own private practice developing videos. And so here we are hundreds of videos later, some years fairly intense penetration into the insurance market. You've developed a well-known reputation among the property and casualty agents. And so you've got a unique perspective on video. So obviously one of the things I want to explore shortly what are the big lessons? What are some of the key things you've learned now from doing hundreds of videos? But first, before we do that, let's start a little bit big picture. And so I want to ask you, like, why do you think video is such a dominant category of content in the online world?
Well, for a wide variety of reasons, and primarily it has everything to do with our attention span these days. A lot of folks will watch video, and this isn't just my experience, and I have a ton of my own anecdotal evidence to back it up, but statistically speaking, video just outranks everything else, and that's just not from an SEO standpoint, which is important, but it's just in a real-life manner. If you and I are working together, and I want to chat back and forth and eventually give you a tiny pitch and maybe move you to from point A to point B, a 90-second video is going to do that light years better than text, a PDF, or any kind of slide deck. People will click on it, they'll watch it, they'll be engaged with that before they will anything else. And the sophisticated thing that we all, not all, but a lot of us will try to say is that, well, not me. I want to read about it and kind of ingest it, and I don't want to be just entertained.
Right.
Which is total BS. That's not true at all.
No, well, everybody does want to be entertained, whether they admit it or not.
They do, man.
Right?
And there's a very common misconception. Well, that's just a millennial thing. That's not true at all either. We spend about 4.5 hours per day on our phone, and if any of your listeners don't believe me, if they have an iPhone, pick it up, look at the settings, look at the screen time on it, and check out what they've been doing for the past week, and they'll see very quickly that, you know, everybody of every generation is knee-deep into their phone, on their laptop, at their desktop, and a lot of that time is spent watching video. And even my father and father-in-law, both at 70 or right at 70 years old, neither one of them are tech-savvy at all. However, if they want to learn how to do something or they want to catch up on the day's sports or news, they watch a video. That has gotten to a point where it trumps everything else. When I'm talking to somebody at this point, especially in the insurance agency, and I really hope this connects instead of offends, but insurance folks are more likely to be on the late adopter to even laggards in terms of accepting new trends with their business or marketing. In many of those cases where they're looking at video now, it's not at a point where it's the new hot thing. It's actually, you've got to almost have it just to be in the game anymore. It's like websites were several years ago where it was a cute idea, but maybe I'll do it, maybe I won't, and then you got to a point where you had to have it. That's where we are with video now.
Okay, so clearly it's well established as a communication medium in the online world. Yes, in terms of like how much content is consumed in video as opposed to other forms of content, I'm sure it's...
Over 70% of online content is video. And I say over, it's probably right at 75, and that will not reverse anytime soon. That is going to only increase.
So, if somebody now, presumably, we have the audience's attention, okay? This is, you know, it's important.
Right.
We want to have a relationship with the marketplace. We want to be able to deliver a message. We want to influence and persuade them, right? We want them to move closer to us, to like, trust, and admire us, ultimately.
Right.
And so if somebody now is thinking, oh, well, you know, what do I put in a video? And Charles is saying 90 seconds. You know, what am I going to shoehorn into 90 seconds in a video? how do we answer that question? What do you put into a video?
Here's how I answer the question, and the concept is: what do you need your customer, potential customer, viewer to understand? What do you need them to feel? They don't need to know everything there is to know about you. And yes, 90 seconds. The reason for that is, and I've tested this personally, and there's a lot of data that backs it up. Anything shorter than that, you're right. It gets difficult to get your message across. But literally anything longer than 90 seconds, then it surely can be done. But anything longer than 90 seconds in most cases has to almost be Oscar-nominated worthy to hold somebody's attention, because we have text notifications, emails popping in, somebody knocking at the door, and a disruption of some form or fashion that we, you know, we can't stay focused on. So the reason I say 90 seconds, is because it works. And the idea of what should be in there is almost always, at least in my opinion, it should be all about your customer or the viewer. You need to get them engaged with it. So they need to be the star of the show, not you. And what I have often used as an example, and I stole this directly from StoryBrand, which is a business in Nashville, by the way, who does great work in terms of helping you clarify your message. And it's a free plug for them. But the analogy they always use, the Joseph Smith Hero's Journey type thing is where, or Joseph Campbell, ooh, yeah. Big difference. Joseph Campbell, where you go from beginning to end in a story, uh-huh. The hero's journey. The potential viewer or the viewer is the hero of the story. So they use Star Wars as an example. In Star Wars, Luke Skywalker has to learn the Force, conquer Darth Vader, and get to the happy ending where they can move on with their lives. Well, that's who the customer is in this case. They get to be Luke Skywalker, not you. You're Yoda. You're the short green guy with big ears that talks funny that has to guide them, teach them, and pull them through the story. That's the big thing. So when you're trying to create and decide what goes in here, you got to take the viewer from point A to point B, let them have the hero's journey, and you're the helpful guide.
Okay, so a couple of minutes ago, you said that the question you start with is, or I think you actually had two, what do they need to know and what do they need to feel, right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, so I want to spend a moment on that. First of all, I think you're making it very clear that the idea is not to get on video and say, I'm so great, or right. You can really trust us, or we've been in business since 1937, and, you know, me.
The big thing you'll see right now in any social media platform, Facebook, LinkedIn, which I'm a huge user of, is that you'll find that somebody has done the dreaded talking head video where they stare into the iPhone camera and ramble on about themselves for 4 or 5 minutes about years of experience, trust, certifications, and blah, 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 things right. that the viewer does not care about. And that is at least, I guess, a step in the right direction. But a lot of times I've told people bad video can be worse than no video at all. But, yes, going back to your example, that's what you're seeing a lot of. Yeah, that's not right.
Right. Okay. So in your case, let's say we've got a hero's journey. So typically the hero is going to start at point A, and by, let's say, 90 seconds later, they're at point B. Talk to us a little bit about, like, what's point A like, and then what's point B like? And then I want to explore, how do we build the journey to get them from A to B? But, like, typically, somebody shows up, and it's, I know you do a lot of work with property and casualty agencies as well as financial advisors. But so let's say somebody shows up on, we'll talk about platforms and delivery, but maybe a website, and boom, I see, there's a little video. I click on it. All right. It wants to resonate with, you know, me, the prospective client.
Right.
What is that point A?
What I developed is a very simple 6-question form that my clients use. And literally, that's the only work they have to do. And from there, I'll write that script that takes them from point A to point B, generally 250 words or less. If you ever decide to DIY this, that's generally the best way to do it. And for your listeners, I've given you a link, and they'll be able to access the 6-question form as well as a 12-point checklist on how to use video once they create one. But the first two questions, the first two and the sixth one are all about the customer. So the very first thing is, who do you work with? And I've discovered a lot of PNC folks don't know. They say, you know, man, they do home life auto, so really anybody. You know, the whole idea of we sell hats to anybody with a head. So
do you find that their emphasis is frequently more on the product than on the people?
It can be either one. It's about 70-30 more on the people. So what I'll do basically is sit down and kind of talk this person through. Let's look at who your 10 best clients are, the 10 type of people you really want to work with, even if they don't bring you the most revenue. Mm-hmm. They're more male or female. Where are they located? How much money do they make? What's their occupation? What what are their concerns in life? And it's not just about making more money or, you know, best product at the cheapest price. They have real concerns. And in most cases, you'll generally find the policyholder that you want to reach out to already has insurance. It's not necessarily just right. the newbie, but somebody who already has a variety of their own policies, but they don't really understand them. They don't know if they have the right coverage. They don't know what questions to ask. They're overwhelmed. They're married. They have a little Johnny, a little Susie. They got their own list of issues, and insurance they know is one of them, but they don't know who to turn to or how to fix it.
Most
of the time.
All right. So in this case, presumably, some of the point A stuff is confusion, overwhelm, lack of understanding.
That's exactly right. It's not the case for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
If they have a true niche, and I know you guys out there probably say niche, but man, I'm born and raised in Middle Tennessee, we say niche. So some of them have a true niche, and they fully have somebody they're already focused on. But more than not, let's figure out who do you work with. And then the next thing is what you just pointed out, what is their problem? And you identify that problem for them, and you can almost always do this in the first 10, 15 seconds. Then from there, we go into who you are. You know, who are you? Why would somebody want to work with you versus somebody else, or rather, why are you any different from your competition? Mm. And that's a tough one for a lot of agents. They go back to the, yeah. hey, the old talking points. Oh, I've been doing this for X number of years. My customers love me. 5-star review, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And all of those may very well be true, but if yeah. everyone else is saying it, you're not saying anything. So you got to really pinpoint, why would somebody work with you? Do you have a specific process you use? Are you really going to sit down with them and go through what their issues are and what the right policies they need will be? And then lastly, we go back to the customer. What are the results of them working with you versus somebody else? And that's, you know, you finish that up in the last 10 or 15 seconds with a strong call to action at the end of the video, and there you go.
Okay, so the point B stuff is that last question, what are the results?
That's exactly right.
Now the results are not just, oh gosh, I bought a policy cheaper.
Right.
Okay.
Which is nice. Which you know, is cool.
Dandy, but if we started at A, I'm confused. I don't understand insurance. I'm overwhelmed. Then B, presumably, is I'm not confused. I'm confident.
Right.
I'm not overwhelmed.
I've got a trusted friend in the looking out for me. We have the right policy at the right price, and now I can go back to my general life of all of the other 50 things I have to do every hour of every day, and this is one less thing I have to worry about, and since it's important, I'm glad it's taken care of.
So I've added a little bit of confidence to my life because of this relationship.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, isn't that nice? All right. So now these questions, it would seem, now clearly give guidance to the creation of a video. How do you suggest somebody would actually sit down and write it? We have to go from ideas to words.
Right.
How do you do that?
Use those six questions. Make the answers 25 words or less.
Mm-hmm.
Also, get really specific. Hand it off to somebody else, and they don't have to be a writer themselves, but ask them if it sounds very specific. Does it sound different than everybody else? Take a look at other people's websites. Don't copy what they have, not just because of the ethical reason, but mostly because they're doing it wrong. And see, do they have a lot of the same terminology you just put in this these answers or the potential script?
Mm-hmm.
Don't use that.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it from your customer's point of view. What's their everyday language? And in many cases, I've had to, since I write the script, I always share it with my client before we finalize it. Many times their training kicks in and they try to fill it full of jargon and, use terminology that people aren't using at cocktail parties and, you know, on the golf course, things that insurance agents only put on their site. Take all of that out. Write that, and then once you have those answers put together, you'll be surprised at how easy the script is to write at that point. You just spend a little bit of time identifying that customer, their issue, how you solve it, the results, and, you know, as long as you can keep it at a 250-word mark or roughly thereof, you've got a very workable script.
Okay, so now we've got a, let's say, 90-second love bomb, right? We are demonstrating to our viewer, we can talk to them. Like, we understand right. them, and we can take them from where they are to their happy place. So now, obviously, the video does nothing unless people see it.
Don't let me interrupt you too much, but getting that video created, either folks are going to do it themselves or they outsource it.
Right. Okay.
And I don't do it. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Well, so boom, we have this, this little, a marketing asset, and we want to get in front of people. How do we get the best and most traffic for this new asset?
It depends on what you're currently using for your existing marketing. What I do not try to do is create an entirely new system for the insurance folks out there. They are, and I know this is probably in the best or most politically correct analogy, but they're like the pretty girl at the bar, and every digital marketing expert known to mankind is coming after insurance agents left and right with a 12-step plan, and all you got to do is X, Y, and Z and pay me this monthly retainer for endless leads. More times than not, you already are getting some decent leads. And the biggest set of leads that folks are getting are still word of mouth and referrals, which is the holy grail and what you always want. But you want to convert more of them.
Mm-hmm.
So the low-hanging fruit, I always tell people, is put it at the homepage of your website and put it on any social media platform you're using, not just once, but on a recurring basis. You can use the same post, the same video, more than once. You don't post it every day, but you can put it on there once or twice a month. But the biggest and best ways are kind of old school, but they really do work, is in email follow-ups, email introductions, email marketing, email signature. And yes, I know people are hearing me say email over and over, and some are just absolutely convinced that email marketing is dead. But
well, they're wrong.
They are wrong. I've even had this discussion with other places where I've been a podcast guest. The concept behind social media taking over every single thing known to mankind, take a look at how many emails there are versus social media profiles, and there's still two or three times the number of emails versus all of the social media profiles put together, not to mention social media. Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram can change their algorithms at the drop of a dime. Email, on the other hand, look at it. It's the same and has been the same for 20 years. I dug up an old email the other day. I've been married 17 years. I dug up an old email that my wife, or rather then girlfriend, sent me from 20 years ago when she was in college on her way to the computer lab. And by the way, the email was super sweet. Nothing like I get now. God bless her. But it was from her same email address that she has to my same email address that I have.
Right.
So the point being is, if you're getting these email, you're getting referrals. So if somebody decides they want to use you, and let's say you have your own agency, Michael, they're getting referrals from friends and family, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Most likely, they're not just asking one, they're asking two or three. It's a coworker, somebody they go to church with, somebody they golf with. The first thing they generally do before anything else is look you up online. And SEO, video has that more SEO juice than anything else, so you simply put in your name and the title of the video, maybe even the location, but put it on your website, and that's going to be the first thing they see, which is a huge advantage because most of the other websites they go to, again, will be full of stock photos and boring text, but they'll see that right away.
Mm-hmm.
And then after they've contacted you, the most common thing is either a phone call or email, but that follow-up needs to have a video, either that same video or maybe hopefully a different video where you're again taking them on a journey from A to B. That will make you stand out above any and all else. So literally, just having a video, if you never generated new leads, which you obviously will do, but if you just closed a few more leads, would make a world of difference on your bottom line and not be anything new or extravagant that you had to do. And then there's still a handful of other ways that video can be used, but those are the quickest and the smartest for insurance people that I have seen.
Well, a word on email, and then we'll move on quickly because this is an area where I do have some expertise. The last time that the Direct Marketing Association surveyed professional marketers, on the results that they were getting from various communication methodology. Email ranked number one with an average ROI, return on investment, of 43 to 1. So in other words, for every dollar invested in email, 43 was returned on average. Obviously, some got more and some got less. And the you know, the, a critical difference, there are a few. The quality of the list matters, but also the quality of the content, which is what we're talking about right here. So
that's the biggest issue. I'll go ahead and get on your soapbox with you. I have so many people that tell me, well, it just doesn't work because my inbox is full of emails that are things I never read. And what they're talking about, and people are really bad about scraping emails off of social media platforms such as LinkedIn and then adding you to a newsletter without your permission, and then they send you a boring, jargon-filled thing you didn't want, full of links and just, you know, five steps to spruce up your house this spring that you never asked for. But if you have people who have opted into your list or they're customers of yours, and you send them something cool, you'll stand out immediately.
So...
Sorry, I just wanted to
I mean, I wanted to get that point across because presumably you probably run into people who are saying, well, email doesn't work, which is not science. So moving on from
that's correct. Yeah, let's go.
Moving on from that one. If you were going to advise, you know, so I think some people, you know, are going to look at this and say, well, I don't want to make mistakes on one hand, and I do want to. If I'm going to do it, I want to do it right. So what do you see in your experiences, like some of the common mistakes to avoid and some of the, techniques or elements that are important that we don't want to avoid?
First question I always get is, should I do a video like I have, an animated video, a whiteboard video, or a talking head video or an interview video? I like the idea of you being on camera if it's feasible and if you can do it and make it look really good. What issue people run into is that they are great in front of a customer one-on-one, or they can stand up and teach a workshop, or maybe they can even do a podcast interview, but there is something about the little red light that pops on a camera that turns them into Elmer Fudd, and they are not that good, or it takes a lot of practice. You can get good, and if you're going to commit to it, great, do that. Make a lot of video, knowing that your first 10 might not be what you wanted them to be and are not very usable, but that's what you have to decide on if you're going to use that. And if you do the talking head video, don't just be you speaking into a camera blindly for 5 minutes, totally unprepared with no script, saying, you know, and like every other word. Have a point, tell an anecdote, tell a story, go from point A to point B, make it fast, and still have alternate camera angles. Change the filter, change the color, add text, add graphics. Have movement going on about every 3 seconds if that's what you decide to do, and also make sure that you have great audio, which is obviously a big thing for your podcast guest, but we will sit through a poorly produced video with great audio and a great message way before we'll sit through a Hollywood-produced video that has bad audio. If it has bad audio, we're out. So make sure the audio is right, get a good mic. If you decide to do an animated video, the same holds true. Make sure you're still telling a story. I often tell people to use a professional voiceover artist unless you are, again, great with a microphone and can tell the tale in a beautiful way that does sound professional and engaging. But make sure the audio is good. Make sure the video in itself is not boring. That doesn't mean adding every single toy and bell and whistle to it, but have something going on, have some text, have some graphics, have some movement of the camera angles. Make sure you also have a strong call to action at the end. When I say a strong call to action, not if you ever need a policy or if you ever want to, don't if anybody, tell them what to do and give them the steps on to do it. Don't give them five ways to contact you. Give them one. Here's the phone number or here's the email or here's the contact form. Call us today to get the right policy for you, to review your policy, to do whatever it is you want them to do next. Tell them exactly how to do it.
Got it. All right. Well, Charles, I suppose that some people are going to listen to this conversation and want to know more about what you do and what they can learn from you. So if somebody wants to either get more resources or maybe, you know, explore your professional service, how should they do that?
I made it easy on them. You go to yourcharlesalexander.com.
Got it.
Right there, I have a very simple website that will walk you right through the steps. I've got, and again, you're going to get one for your listeners. You can put in the show notes where I'm giving you a checklist on how to create your own video, or even a discount for your listeners if they decide to work with me. And again, if they want to do it on their own, I'm going to give them the tools to do it. If they want to spend time running their business and making money and letting a professional do it, I'll handle it.
Fair enough. Okay.
Well, it's exactly right. It's the difference between shopping online blindly for insurance or working with a professional, you know?
Yeah. So once again, your URL is yourcharlesalexander.com.
That's correct.
All right. Well, Charles, as always, it's been a delightful delightful time catching up with you, and appreciate you sharing time with us today.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Insurance Podcast. If you found this episode informative, please share it with your peers and colleagues. Explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers by visiting agencyrevolution.com and clicking media. Subscribe and get updates delivered right to your inbox. New episodes every Wednesday.